Good evening, Toronto. Now, you're probably wondering who I am and what this is. Well, how many of you find an outlet in music, a therapeutic element, perhaps? Well, that's what I thought. Whether it's screaming along to your favorite angst-ridden emo tune or crying to your heartbreak song of the moment, or thrashing around to your favorite metal song, fist-pumping to your rock anthem of choice, or stomping to some scrappy punk, or swaying around to some grudge, there's a therapy to that. How about when you're on pins and needles for that one concert you've been planning to go to for months and the day finally comes? Maybe even breathless in your excitement, you race to the front. Or unwrapping a new CD with twitchy fingers. Well, it feels good, doesn't it? Have you made new friends waiting in line all day for a show? Road tripped to, I don't know where, for your favorite band in a much anticipated show trip? Come out of a mosh pit covered in bruises and a smile. Or an outdoor festival covered in mud. Have you ever chilled on the grass on a sweet summer night as the music washes over you like the breath of life? Or pulled out a guitar and started strumming just to feel the strings? Well, this is for you. In a crazy busy world such as this, isn't it a relief to just hang out and listen to your favorite bands for a change? Well, this is where this radio show comes into play. If you pardon the pun, this is music therapy. Hello there, Toronto. I'm Renisa McLeod, and this is your very own music therapy session. Let's get to know each other a bit. Guesting with me today is my good friend and fellow music addict, Jaws. How are you doing over there?
Doing all right. Yeah, man, this is exciting. First show. Maybe some hiccups here and there, but I think we're going to make it through the whole experience.
Well, it is a debut.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling pretty fantastic. I was getting tingles on my way to the college here. I was like, oh my God, do my first radio. I think I have a face for radio, Ren. I think I should do this more often. You know, I've only been doing this for like 30 seconds and I'm already in love. I'm here. I got all my action figures and stuff. I got my Jason Voorhees.
He's pretty much set up shop here.
Oh, yeah. And I got my little Edgar Allan Poe action figure. They're pretty sweet. I mean, you know whenever you like you see those like TV radio show hosts and they always have like a bunch of toys and stuff all around their desk and everything? No?
I don't watch TV.
Well, you should watch more TV. It's good. It rots your brain. Anyways, I needed my accessories.
Of course, by all means. So here's what we're doing tonight. We're going for an alternative feel music-wise with our concert listings for this week, maybe a little bit of news. I'm also going to be giving a full-on review of last night's alternative press tour that took place at the Phoenix. The show was a double headliner featuring the addictive up-and-coming alt-rockers Destroy, Rebuild, Until God Shows, or more simply known as Drugs. Appropriate.
That's pretty hilarious. Drugs? Seriously? They're an acronym band? What? Okay, run that through me again.
Destroy, Rebuild, Until God Shows.
That's pretty clever, actually. And then Drugs.
Yeah. I wonder if they did it on purpose.
Yeah, I think. All right.
I don't know. Well, what's kind of interesting about this band is I think the band member I'm most familiar with is Matt Good, who was originally the frontman from First to Last.
From First to Last? No, yeah. Relation to the other Matt Good.
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Just want to make that clear, because that's a totally different genre style, isn't it? What is Drugs? Like, what are their... I mean, you know, what's their style, musically?
I'd say they've got a heavier kind of feel to them, actually, which is pretty neat.
Well, I mean, like, compare... Like, what are they? Are they death metal? I've never heard of Drugs.
Oh, not death metal. I'd say heavy alt.
Heavy alternative?
Yeah.
So, like, Creed, but maybe without the suck?
Yeah. Definitely. There was no suck going on with Drugs last night.
All right. So classic hard rock. Who else played?
Well, the other headliner was actually Rock Metalers Black Veil Brides. And they were fantastic. I mean, that's what I was going to see. So my expectations were high. And if any of you have read my concert reviews before, I'm a pretty tough reviewer.
We call that a bias.
I'm going to disregard that
bias.
Remark.
She loves them because they're pretty.
Well, they are very pretty.
They are pretty. Even I think they're pretty.
Yeah.
I can't lie.
But honestly, if you weren't there, you were missing out.
Mm.
And like, I got like a good chest grab there.
Nice.
They were all over the speakers.
Was it just the two bands? Is that the whole?
No, there were four. They were opened by Conditions and Versa Emerge. We'll have a little bit more from them later on. For now, though, we're going to kick it off with some older school SoCal punk. It's one of my absolute favorites, and I feel like I need to christen it. So, coming
up... Christen it with, like, one of the oldest, like, punk bands now. Okay, granted, they're older. I just mean, like... Okay, have you said the name yet? It's AFI. You're about
AFI.
To play some damn AFI.
I'm playing AFI.
And what, like... it's so funny. They're just, like, punk and all that. They remember they were hardcore, like... I want a mohawk, but mom won't let me get one.
Well, this is when they were still pretty hardcore. They were actually on the indie label at the time, Nitro.
Oh, is this one of their earlier? Like, what's the album?
It was actually The Art of Drowning. So, I'm sure you know what's coming up.
Is that Before Singing Sorrow?
Yep. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so this will be their really cool stuff. I'm going to dig this. Sorry. I'm not... after Sing the Sorrow, I tuned out with the AFI. I wasn't a big fan of their new direction.
Well, we can talk about that later. Right now, though, this is AFI's Days of the Phoenix.
Stop it!
So that was AFI's Days of the Phoenix, and now we've got You've Made Us Conscious by The Audition.
Yeah, I'm stoked for this. I've actually never heard The Audition. I have no idea what we're about to listen to.
They're actually pretty good.
Well, I mean, if they were crap, you wouldn't play them, right?
Well, this is true. So this is You've Made Us Conscious. And that was The Audition with You Made Us Conscious. Jaws' first time hearing him, actually.
Yeah, that sounded right. I mean, heck, I wasn't offended by it or anything. You know.
Well, that's good. I just realized I cut it off halfway through the song.
Oh, it wasn't even the end? I was just like...
No, I thought it... Yeah.
It sounded like it was ending to me, honestly.
Yeah, same here.
That's bad songwriting, guys.
Dude.
Don't make it sound like the song's ending in the middle. You know, it's like when they drop the beat. And you think, oh. That's the end of the track, and then you're like, no, they were just slowing it down.
Yeah, it's like kind of false endings in a show, and then the audience who's not familiar with the song will be like, yeah, and then the band's like, no, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's like you leave, you're like, that was a good show, and they're like, oh, didn't you stay for the encore? There was an encore.
So what we heard was AFI's Days of the Phoenix. That was the first one off their 2000 album, The Art of Drowning, and Chicago Rockers, The Audition. I have to say, it's kind of sad. AFI's Art of Drowning came out in 2000, right?
Sure.
It did. That's considered old now.
Wait, what? When did it come out?
2000.
2000. Oh.
That was a decade ago.
God.
More than that. It was 11 years ago. But do you remember, like, Y2K and, oh my God, it's the end of the world? And
I can honestly say I was not worried in the slightest about Y2K. Myself. I mean, like, I was definitely watching everyone else go crazy, but... I mean, you know, that was for people who didn't understand computers.
Fair enough. I don't know. It struck me as a little anticlimactic. I was kind of hoping for some crazy stuff, but it didn't happen. We just...
Can I say it?
Okay.
2012, that's the next Y2K.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, I can't wait till that December.
I'm actually going to plan a end of the world party.
Ooh, that sounds pretty fun.
All right, so I promised you a concert review, right?
Did you?
I think I did.
Oh, the concert.
The concert. That's right.
I asked a few questions before, but I didn't get the full details.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I was pretty excited. It's been my first concert for a while, So I was all in it. That was the AP tour, actually, at the Phoenix Theater, which is one of my favorites. I think we saw Dresden Dolls there.
Did we?
Was we absolutely Dolls? Did.
Oh, who was that with? Was that Die Mannequin that time? Or
yeah, that was Die Mannequin.
God, that was I think that was my first live Die Mannequin show. And
oh God!
Holy crap! Did I ever like that? Really rocked my pants off. But we're not here to talk about how awesome that Die Mannequin show was.
Although when it comes to rocking and pants off, I'd have to say that the bands last night were pretty pants off rock and rolling.
And the Phoenix is a great venue.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even list like the bands that I've seen at the Phoenix. I don't even go to like a lot of shows, you know. So what's AP stand for on the AP tour?
AP is Alternative Press. Actually, it's a magazine, and every year they put out a tour of, you know, young, up and coming, hot, good bands. And I'd say the bands last night really delivered. It started off with Conditions.
Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with them before. And, you know, it took a while for them to get in it. They were a bit awkward. I could see they were a little self-conscious. But once they got going, they got going. And, I mean, the crowd could have been better. It was a bit of a lukewarm response. But I'd say, like, they soldiered right through it. Right after that was actually a chick band. Well, mm-hmm. a chick front woman. Versa Emerge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did they actually hold up? Because I find, like, with a lot of chick bands, I mean, you can put a lady as your front person and...
Well, if she's hot and can carry a tune, it's okay.
No, but that's the thing, right? So many people think,
well, that's
like,
the,
if
that's
she's
a headspace.
Hot and can carry a tune, that must mean it's a good band. No, like, Metric had to work for their money. You know what I mean? Like, there's bands like Tsunami. Well, then Tsunami Bomb, you know, they're like a great band with a chick front woman, but they don't get enough cred. Sometimes that would just feel so arbitrary, like Shiny Toy Guns.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Shiny Toy Guns has a couple good ones.
Yes, but each one of their songs sounds like it's from a different band.
True, but I have to be honest. Versa Emerge was probably the weaker link of the night.
Ooh, harsh. We just
Well,
we spent a moment trying to defend chick front women, and then
going into it, I don't know. I think off the top, they could have popped with a better entrance. The crowd response was fantastic, but I found it took them a little bit of time to get into it. So me not being familiar with them also took time to get into it. I always know with shows when I reach for my phone, then something's lagging.
Mm. So I just want to ask a quick question before we move on to the next band. Like, did they feel cohesive, or did they feel like it was a band with a girl front person? You know, the difference between, you know, No Doubt and, like, you know, Shiny Toy Guns, where it feels like there's a band. And then all of a sudden they put a girl in it, you know, while No Doubt felt very much so like Gwen Stefani was with the three guys, and they built that band together.
I don't know. It's a tough call. There was not a lot of audience interaction with her backup guys. It was her, three guys, drummer, two guitarists. The guitarist in front of me, though, was he was very cute. So, I mean, that made...
Well, that makes up for it, of course.
Of course. No, it seemed like she was a bit of a separate entity. Almost, it's kind of like, look, I'm a girl and I'm fronting a band. So that was kind of how I was feeling. That being said, though, she was quite charismatic, I thought, and the audience went nuts. I mean, this girl, I don't even know how old she is, maybe 20, dived into the crowd.
Nice.
I was impressed.
Good for her.
Yeah.
You get hurt that way. Jeez.
Yeah, well, actually, the hurt actually came with Drugs, who came next. Destroy, Rebuild, Until God Shows. That, I don't know, Black Veil Brides is heavy, but I thought that Drugs actually brought the bigger kick.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of heavy? Is it like speed heavy or like, you know, bass heavy, like Rammstein? You know,
I'd say they were speed heavy, and that there was a bit of a punky feel to it, but they were... I can't even say. They were fantastic.
So they were, you'd say they're heavier because they're more like rough around the edges?
Yeah. They were rough around the edges, and they were a tight unit. They were tight, they knew their instruments, and they could play them. Mm. Not only could they play them, but they could play with the crowd, which I personally really appreciate when the band is very interactive. These boys, well, guys, were jumping all over the speakers. Their front man, once again, jumped into the crowd, almost got mauled. But also, it was an interesting juxtaposition because this is when... No offense to Black Veil Brides fans, but this is when the grown-ups were kind of there, the older people.
I always appreciate adult music. Well, you know, stuff that doesn't pander to 14-year-olds. You know.
Yeah, well, Black Veil Brides doesn't either. That was just the demographic that was there. But no, Drugs, maybe because I was surrounded by tall guys all of a sudden, and I had crowd surfers falling on my head. I mean, that's what I mean by the heavy.
You have to respect that. You really do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, excuse me, children. This is how we rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, man. Drugs, actually, for their, I think it was their penultimate song, the second last song, they actually started a split pit and just had the two walls go at each other. I was so impressed.
Glorious.
Oh, incredibly. I have to say, though, the main eye catcher for the band was the guitarist, Matt Good. I don't know, maybe...
No relation to the other Matt Good.
No relation to the other Matt Good. I don't know if it's because he was a little more familiar for me with From First to Last or what, but I thought that he really owned the stage. He had a bit of a Jack White kind of feel to him, only like 20 times more energy. He was running around like crazy. Frontman, nuts. And so I really appreciated that. And I have to say, Blackfield Brides were good, but Drugs were the highlight of the night.
All right.
Yeah.
And so, Black Veil Brides, you introduced them to me a couple months ago. What can I say? When I was, like, I saw the picture, you remember, I was a little conflicted. Cause
a bit.
I love the Misfits, so I love face makeup.
A
but
band that started
so
with aesthetics. Black Veil Brides is definitely based around aesthetics. Initially, they were inspired by the glam rock and makeup of, you know, Kiss, Motley Crue.
David Bowie.
Maybe a bit of David Bowie.
Yeah, come on. That guy totally, like, he made it happen. He inspired a lot of people to do that.
Well, this is true. I mean, but it was David Bowie. He's next to a god.
That's true.
This is true.
He's ascended.
I guess. For Black Veil Brides, it was funny because the people that were there for Drugs, the tall people, all dispersed. And I was surrounded by a bunch of 16-year-old girls.
All right. I can just imagine Renisa elbowing everyone in the face. Get out of my way. It's time for me to rock and roll.
Oh, man, I was headbanging like a champ. My neck is still sore. And that was after hot compresses all day today, like massaging it, everything. These guys rocked out. I thought it was kind of funny, though. Frontman Andy Six definitely has a stage persona to him. But what I thought was endearing was that the stage persona dropped on occasion. So, you know, you could see him grinning to himself with the audience response or anything like that. And then all of a sudden he's like, tough boy face again.
Oh, that's kind of funny. I go on stage frequently, and I always try to make you got to make your onstage persona as honest as possible. You know, if you're gonna have fun and laugh, you got to leave room for it. Have you ever seen Bruce Dickinson like behind the scenes and actually on stage? It doesn't matter. You ever seen that guy? Of Iron Maiden.
Obviously,
I just mean he's the goofiest dude I have ever seen, and he's the frontman for a metal band. He'll go from like run to the hills, and then he'll mob the camera and just like give it big grins and like, you know, won't even abandon it, you know.
Yeah,
so
and I think with the Black Veil Brides being a fresher band on the scene, I think they're still finding their sound, persona on stage. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, the band's been going since about 7 years right now, since yeah. Their frontman Andy Six started it at 14. The kid's 20 now, and they're owning, which is very impressive. But I can see that there's a little bit of work that needs to be done on mm-hmm. the stage performance. That being said, though, they were very charismatic. They were very there, and they were very energetic, but they just didn't quite hit the mark for me.
Yeah.
Didn't quite.
I think the one big thing with like a lot of stage personas and stuff, it's like don't take yourself too seriously, because when you break, you know, that persona, you know, that has to be like, how are you going to make that okay? You know, as long as you don't take yourself too seriously, then you don't have to worry. That's the problem with a lot of metal bands, I think. They take some so seriously that they can never be funny, ever. You know, you gotta laugh. Yeah. You gotta have fun.
Yeah, I can see that. I think one of the most interesting parts of the show was when their bassist, Ashley Purdy, smashed one of his basses on the stage.
Why would he want to destroy such a beautiful instrument?
I have absolutely no idea. I think they do it every show.
Oh.
Well, this is my first time seeing Black Veil Brides live, but you can see videos of them smashing the basses. Interestingly, and this could be another reason why the energy lagged at times, is there were technical difficulties with the bass. They had to switch it up a few times, and there were definitely a few low points. The band was good at working through it, I have to say, but I could see that they were a little frustrated.
That's no good. I can honestly, as a performer myself, that really ruins the show. You know, on stage you might still be able to give a lot of energy, but deep inside you're just pissed off that everything's going wrong. I mean, I think anyone, like, if your day goes wrong, you kind of carry that with you for a while. You know?
Yeah.
The bad
definitely.
Day.
Well, yeah. I have to say, though, kudos to Andy Six, though. The guy's just getting off of a very hardcore sickness. Like, he just recently has been recovering.
Was it like a throat cold or something?
You know what? I'm not sure. I do know that I believe they canceled the show though, and they had to check out the hospital.
Wow. Hopefully the fans aren't too disappointed by that and they recover.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was fine. That was a little while ago, a few shows ago. Now they're back. They're on form, and you can see they're still getting there. But I'd say like they're definitely getting there, and I'm totally stoked to see them on Warped Tour. So, actually, Drugs is doing Warped Tour as well. So I think it's a signed, sealed deal for me. So as a quick nod to the fine young bands and boys, and the one girl. I'm going to give you a taste of what I got live. One after another, this is going to start with Conditions. This is Keeping Pace with Planes. And these are going to be four songs, one after another. We've got Conditions, Versa Emerge, Jugs, and BVB coming up.
Ooh, covering the whole spectrum of the show. Let's rock and roll.
Ah, let's do it.
Thank you.
Hello, Toronto. This is your weekly musical therapy session. I'm Renice McLeod, and with me is Jaws. You were just listening to Black Veil Brides with Perfect Weapon. Before that was Drugs. Mr. Owl Ate My Metal. I'm going to have to apologize to you guys. We had some distortion when Drugs were playing. The sound didn't come out quite as good as we wanted, but you know what? If you look them up online, I'm sure you can see that these guys were awesome. Before that, we had Versa Emerge with Fixed at Zero. And rounding off that song set was Conditions with Keeping Pace with Planes. And that was a tribute to their show yesterday, which was pretty good. But I don't know. I was there. What do you think, Jaws, just listening to the music?
Well, I haven't heard, never really heard any of these bands before listening to them now. And sadly, you know, not sadly for me, sadly for the listeners, they couldn't watch the music videos that I got to see with them. But that actually doesn't really matter. It doesn't. Luckily, the music videos neither help nor hurt the bands in any way. The first one, Conditions, right? Mm-hmm. I thought they were very, very heavy on the band, but the vocals not so much.
No, the vocals were kind of lightweight, weren't they? But I thought it was an interesting juxtaposition.
Oh no, you always need a juxtaposition. You know what I mean? Like that's why Rammstein has a keyboard player, because they need something pretty in the background, because everything else sounds like it's being dragged out of the bottom of the earth. You know what I mean? So that's how it works, right? Like in Led Zeppelin, what's his face, the singer, that he's got such a high pitched voice. You know, it's perfect. It's all about mixing it together. Anyways, so that's how it, the first band. You know, it's not my favorite genre, Conditions, but for a bunch of young guys, they do it pretty well, and I hate giving these types of reviews. You know, the sort of, well, I don't like it, but they did it well. But honestly, they did. And if you like that sort of harder emo rock sort of thing, I'd say...
Nemo. New emo.
New emo? Yeah.
New emo.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Tune in. Honestly, they're not so miserable. and the second band,
that was Versa Emerge.
Versa Emerge. Now you kind of gave them a hard time live, but you know, in the studio, it appears they really do have a thing going for them. She's got a great voice and they've got a good sound in the back, but their biggest flaw is that I didn't hear a single thing original. I didn't hear a hook. Short of her pretty voice, and I've heard a lot of pretty voices in my time, and so I felt like there was no hook. There was nothing this band offers that you wouldn't find anywhere else, as far as like girl front singer, front, you know,
bands. You kind of had a Paramore feel to it, I thought. A little bit of Paramore in there.
You know, Paramore, though, I strongly dislike Paramore, but once again, I have to give them this. Now, I'm not going to say... Okay, I'm just going to say it.
They
do something that nobody else really does right now. And that's it's sad to say that that they're original, considering I hate them, you know, because I love originality. But I can't listen to Paramore. To me, it makes my ears bleed. But I've never heard that kind of stuff before. So that's got to be something, right?
Yeah. You got to give a little bit of credit, a little bit of credit.
It's kind of like modern art. It's like, sure, you know, like slapping, you know, a bunch of like feces and like yellow paint on a dirty cardboard box, you know, has only been done a few times before and it's pretty original.
But it kind of smells.
It's stinky.
A bit.
Drugs. They were expected. It was nice. It was hardcore. It's good. I felt like I could mosh to that. And
there was definitely a mosh pit going when they were live.
And you really got to respect that.
Yeah, they were one of those bands that live, they bring in even a heavier sound.
Oh yeah, that's
it was
my favorite.
Nuts.
I mean, honestly, if you're in a band right now, do not give your studio album. Don't put that on your stage. You know, don't give that. That's not what you're giving people. You got to give them something extra. Give them something more. You know, more cojones to that. You really got to step it up a notch. And if Drugs do that, then hey, man, I gotta catch that next show.
By Drugs, we mean Destroy, Rebuild, Until God Shows. The full name of the band, Drugs, is the abbreviation, just to clarify.
So if I start talking about narcotics, I'll be very specific.
I will be very concerned, because we're not supposed to talk about it on the radio.
Well, so many different ways you can talk about narcotics. But let's move on.
Moving on.
Black Veil Brides. I've heard their stuff recorded before, and I'm sure it's fantastic live. So I'm pretty much have the same opinion of it before as I do now, which is it's very interesting how it seems like their influences are very obvious to me, and they have many different influences that stand out in their songs. You can hear the different, Iron Maiden over there, and a Kiss riff over there, and death metal like Dima Borgir over there, and Danzig, or no Danzig at all, actually. Sadly, I love Danzig, and there wasn't any. I don't know why I brought it up. Oh, because I love them. Anyways, okay. Moral of the story is it's very good to sort of see that in metal, but it's very classic what they play. They play a classic style of metal. The vocals are a bit new in their style, but only so much. He does scream every once in a while and really
give her. I think it's a good balance of the two.
Yeah. Well, that's what this band is. It's a balancing act. They balance everything. It's like they haven't decided on, Finnish metal. No, American metal. You know, they're sort of like, they're like, it's just do a little bit of everything. And they balance it for sure in a very fun way. It's a fun metal band. I mean, it's not my kind of metal band, but they're fun.
They were definitely fun live. For those of you who are wondering, we actually have a computer set up here. So while I was playing the CDs that I got, Jaws was watching the music videos on the computer.
Oh, yeah. We got YouTube here, guys.
We've got YouTube.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. I get to watch these little guys dance around, and sadly you can't.
So, in case you haven't noticed, we have a bit of an independent thread throughout the show, something I'm a big fan of. Aside from our opening song, Crazy Train, which is the show's theme, all of the songs that were put out tonight were done on an independent label. Now, speaking of independent upcomers, Jaws is actually in a band too, and I can see him blushing over there. I can see him blushing, but
I'm not really blushing. I'm more blushing. Embarrassed about the fact that we don't have a label, because all of these guys you're listening to, there's so many. Indie means a lot, different things to different people, but at least now people are honing in.
Well, indie's a music style, and then it's just a marketing style.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a music style, because that doesn't make any sense. You can't listen to independent music, because like in this case, this entire show. It was all independent bands, technically. I mean, Taylor Swift's on an independent label. Go figure. I know, but then all of a sudden, like, Black Veil Brides as well. You know, well, Black Veil Brides.
Well, they were before they were signed to Warner.
Oh, they just got signed?
Oh, they actually got signed a while ago after, almost right after their first CD came out.
Oh, you've been lying to me this whole time. Now you just told the viewers that independent bands and everything.
Well, the thing is, this first CD from Black Veil Brides, We Stitched These Wounds, was put out on a small, somewhat obscure indie label. And then, from their constant love affair of fans, and self-promotion, right out the gate, as soon as the album was out, they were headlining, and the big major labels were soon to follow.
Well, that's how it goes, right? You sort of just pump out your stuff any way that you can, and that's when you get attention from the big suits.
Well, yeah. So I'll be interested to see what happens with their new album coming out in June. See if they still have their sound or if it was altered a bit by the dreaded suits.
But let's talk about me.
Let's talk about Jaws.
Oh, I love me so much. Yeah, like Ren was saying, I'm the front man for the punk rock band Wood Butcher. Although some people dare call us punkabilly, we do dabble in that rockabilly, psychobilly edge. But, we just like to stay... You know, we like to play fast, hard rock and roll. And it just so happens it sounds pretty punky and pretty southern.
And it's a lot of fun live.
Yeah, I dance like a lunatic.
So, speaking of live and having YouTube and everything, this is one thing that we are hooking up to the computer. This is a live performance of one of Wood Butcher's earliest songs, Goodbye Jack. I know when I saw it live the first time, I was a little... perklempt, as it were, because I'd seen the song in the beginning stages when we were in high school.
I gotta give a little bit of history for this before
Please
we
do.
Roll it.
Please do.
Okay. So, just so you know about what you're about to hear, it was recorded at Glenmore Records. Fantastic, guys. So much fun. They've hooked us up with a lot of good shows and whatnot. And it's live off the floor, the recording. And it sounds fantastic. And if you go on YouTube and search Wood Butcher, you can find Glenmore Records music video that goes with it. It's a lot of fun to watch. So the song, Goodbye Jack, we wrote that back in high school. Back when I was in a different... I was actually the bass player for a punk rock band called Jack's Dead. In which Adric Clough was the front man. Alex Ferbre was the bass player. And the drummer originally was Jesse Toma and eventually Ryan McLeod. And we were all just sitting around in the music room at Lockerbie Composite back in Sudbury.
Which was almost 10 years ago, almost in 2000s.
Almost 10 years ago now. And just hammering out, we had like a cute little riff that I think it was Adric or Biff came up. Biff is Alex. He came up with, and we just sat down, hammered out all these lyrics, and boom, we came up with "Goodbye Jack." And I can't believe how far this song has taken me. So here you go, guys. Here's a little taste of my high school songwriting. I hope you enjoy it.
So let's see what happens when we start with a cute little riff. This is "Goodbye Jack" by Wood Butcher.
Rock and roll.
That was Wood Butcher. It's actually our last song of the night. We're going to have a little bit more of Wood Butcher in an upcoming show.
Ooh, can I pump my show real quick?
Yes, of course.
Oh, cool. All right. Sorry, guys. I don't know how much time we have left. I'm very excited, and I'm so happy to be here. This is a very fun time. April 27th at at the Hard Luck Bar. You can catch Wood Butcher. It's going to be a fantastic show. We're raising money to help Japan out. And I mean... what can I say, guys? They're our fellow humans on the other side of this globe, and if we don't help them, what's going to happen to our anime? I swear to God.
Anime, J-Metal, I mean, I don't know, good horror films.
Yeah, seriously, and I got to stop beating on the desk. If you guys keep hearing this thump in the background, that's because I'm a moron and I slam my fists on the table.
That's okay, Jaws. Let's just remind the audience, this is our debut show, so we're still working out the kinks, but I think we're feeling pretty good about this.
I'm going to sit on my hands.
Okay, have fun with that. So that was Jaws Jansen's in the studio with me, and we are going to be getting Wood Butcher a little later on at a later date for a full show, and we'll have full tunes and full coverage of them. But until then, Hard Luck Bar on the 27th. I know I'm going to be there. So that pretty much concludes the night, ladies and germs. But just to round off, here are some concert listings coming up this week. Tomorrow we've got Bob Seger at the ACC. Then nothing on Wednesday. No one likes Wednesday. Thursday is Canada Rocks Japan at the Sound Academy. going with what we said before, and there is a plethora of bands. I was looking at the site. It's huge, and it's for a great cause, so check it out. On Friday, we've got Colorado at the Sound Academy, and Saturday, we have three shows, Stereos and Never Rest at the Sound Academy. Born Ruffians are playing the Opera House, and Black Lips are rocking the Phoenix. The week is rounded out on Sunday with TV on the Radio once again at the Sound Academy, and this one I'm kind of excited for. There's the Pixies are going to be coming to Massey Hall on Sunday and Monday.
What? Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, I love the Pixies. That's going to be so good.
I think so. I'm pretty stoked. I think it'll be a good show.
Alright.
So, that rounds out the night.
Thanks for having me, Ren.
Well, thank you for joining me. If we have any bands out there that are actually interested in guesting, if they feel like they're up to the task, you can send a song sample and a bio to me at music.x.therapy@gmail.com. So we'll talk to you soon. See you next week.